Hey, everybody. We got a special podcast for you today here at the Media Center, CM Sportsnet. I'm joined by Cooper Sheeler and Grayson Lyons, both seniors at Winters Mill High School, and figured I'd get them together. They have a pretty cool story to tell about their football experiences, and they're both members of the team last year, and Winters Mill had a great season, went to the state tournament round for the first time ever, historic season for the Falcons. So, Cooper, you want to go ahead and get started and just tell everybody a little bit about yourself and what brought you here to the Media Center?
I'm Cooper. Mm-hmm. I'm currently doing an internship at the Community Media Center right now, and I'm blessed to have the opportunity to be doing this podcast here with me and Grayson. Mm-hmm. We were teammates, and I think we have a pretty good story to share.
And we brought Grayson in. Go ahead, Grayson.
Hello, I'm Grayson Lyons. Mm-hmm. I was a senior at Winters Mill this year. I was pretty well known for a story that happened to me a few years back.
Yep.
And excited to talk about it.
Yeah, sure. You were a junior that year, correct?
Yes, sir, I was.
And you guys were both on the team at that time.
Yes.
Right? So,
yeah.
You tell me. You want to ask him questions, or we can just start and have Grayson just have Grayson just kind of give us the situation.
Yeah. If you want to start, like, how did you get into football, and how did we start from there?
Yeah, that's a good one.
That's a funny story, because I originally started with basketball. My whole life growing up, I wanted to play basketball. That was the only thing I enjoyed. And then freshman year, I think I was 270 pounds. I got cut from the basketball team.
Big boy.
And so okay. I realized that basketball might not be suited for me. So
football was your path.
Yeah, went to football, and then I got moved up to varsity as a sophomore. Played my whole sophomore year in varsity. So then I was like, that was my new goal and my new dream in life was to play football. And so that was like my whole upbringing. I mean, I only played 1.5 years of football until my event happened last year or 2 years ago.
When did you know that when you made the switch, obviously, like, basketball was going to be for you? When did football, like, get into you? You know, when did you get the bug?
I got the bug when I wasn't playing any sports at all my freshman year.
Yeah.
So just the lack of having sports, you know, it's like not really good for my mind, because like that's something I really enjoyed was sports. So.
Sure. Trying to be active, trying to stay, you know, as healthy as you can, and things like that.
Yep.
That's funny. It is interesting how everyone's path goes. Like, some kids play peewee football and they just grow up and play it their whole lives. Some play more than one sport. A lot of you guys do that too, I'm sure. The basketball career that never was turned into the football career that was. Go ahead. So what do you got?
Leading up, I kind of want to talk about, because this St. John's, I remember Coach Miller coming up to us, and he's kind of, it's week one. We got a big game coming up.
2022 season.
Yes. So this was not technically this year, but
the last fall.
Two
falls ago. Yeah.
Yeah. It was a big game because St. John's was actually opening up a new stadium.
Mm-hmm. Catholic Prep in Frederick County.
Yeah. Yep. So they were pretty much opening up, like, setting a big stage in our head that we had to go out and we had to perform. And since there was, you know, an expectation of maybe a lot of people being there, new field, new team. Have we played them in the past?
Never, I believe.
It might have been the first time, yeah. I don't have the
first time
in front of me, but yeah. It's a turf field, nice facility out there, private school.
Us Carroll County kids, we love us some turf fields sometimes.
There are few and far between around here.
Right.
So that was week one of the 2022 season. You guys were juniors.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
What did you feel? But before the game starts, normal routine, everything is normal for you?
Everything was fine for me. I mean, I started both ways. So, I mean, I was just getting as much film work, as much game planning as I could for them. I mean, to be honest, they didn't seem like a crazy challenge. Like, you go in every year and you have teams that are just better, and you know, like, you got to game plan a lot more. This game, it wasn't as much of a challenge going into it in terms of game plan.
Yep.
Just followed my coaches there, and it was, to me, it was no different from any other game.
Yeah.
I know to them it was big stages, but I never really got, like, phased by big stages or anything like that.
You guys played on the line, right? Offensive line?
So, my junior year, I was actually ineligible for a couple of games.
Okay. But your position would be line?
Yes.
Yours, Grayson.
Yeah, I played right tackle, and D-line was my main position.
Okay. Before we get to that, so I just want to ask this question too, since you guys are both part of this program. The success from this year, a little bit of that stemmed from what you guys were able to do last year. You competed in some of those games last year. If you go back before those seasons, Winters Mill was struggling for a while. Was struggling to pick up wins. There was a one win year in there. There was a couple 2-win years maybe before you guys got there. 2022, I think, if you ask Coach Matt Miller and some of the guys, the veterans on the team, they'll tell you that the 2023 success, kind of, you picked up where you left off in 2022.
Oh, yeah.
So before we get about that St. John's, do you guys agree that that's where things started?
Absolutely. So that's a great point, because when I was my sophomore year, we had a one-win season. Right. We had a one-win season. I got moved up. That was my first time playing varsity that year.
And that's not fun.
No, it's not fun. No. Your first game, you lose by 30 points. Yeah. It's not enjoyable.
Right.
But we had a very young team that year. I mean, we graduated like six seniors that year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Our whole team was, I think we had six starting sophomores.
So a lot of guys coming back from the 2021 team.
Junior year, we just got plagued by ineligibilities and injuries.
And then things happen, right.
Yeah, and if that didn't happen, I mean, I thought we had a very talented team. We went down and played Winston Churchill for a scrimmage, and I thought we got the better of Winston Churchill, a team that went to the state championship in the 4A bracket. And we played Williamsport, and that was one of the best Williamsport teams. And
they made a run. Yeah. They made a run in the playoffs that year too.
They were decent. Yeah. And we played them in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Right.
This past year, but the year before that too. You're right.
Before that, we scrimmaged them. I think we held them to like 12 yards defensively.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you felt good about that too.
Oh yeah. We didn't score, but I mean, I think it was a pretty good tie.
Yeah.
And then it's just how things planned out.
Yeah, and you competed in some of those games in 2022. Some of those were losses, but I can remember watching the games and thinking these guys aren't that far away.
Oh, yeah.
Right. And again, the junior class had they were that year in 22. You're pretty much all coming back in 2023.
Yeah.
The Caleb Crouches, the Camden Cooks, all those guys and yourselves as well. Paris and Malachi and Dallas Poole and going on and on.
Oh, yeah.
They were all coming back. Nico Baez. So all the guys we saw shine this year kind of got their start last year.
Yeah.
We'll go back then. Week one, 2022. Grayson says it's normal routine. Yeah, everything's going fine. It'll get going. The game begins.
Right. So the game begins. If you kind of just wanted to break down the process of do you remember anything prior, maybe not like too far prior, but like somewhat prior to the injury?
Yeah.
Or
I remember the entire game actually because it was the best game I've ever played. So when I when we started the game, it was the first quarter. I remember we started with the ball. We returned the ball on offense. We got, like, great first downs. It was like an 8-yard rush. We kept running. Steelers was our sweep to Restivo.
Mm-hmm.
And Restivo, man, he was having a day.
So you're pulling off chunk plays.
Yeah.
Big runs.
Yeah. Nine.
First down.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then we're at, the 40 on the other side, and Caleb goes to hand the ball off to Paris, and he drops the ball.
Mm-hmm.
He picks it up, but it was like a loss of four.
Right.
And then we just couldn't get anything going. And then we punted the ball away. And I was on. I was a tackle then. And then we go to defense, and I go play end.
Mm-hmm.
And we, since I played both ways, like I was already tired. I was a heavy guy.
Yeah.
I was already tired, and we're going in, and like they just didn't seem like their size was much smaller than us.
That's kind of rare, honestly.
I know, that's rare. I mean,
for Winter's Mill.
Sure.
Undersized team. I mean, it was like uncharted territory for
us. You felt like you guys had an advantage there.
Oh, absolutely.
And that doesn't happen.
Right.
Rarely.
Not that you can wear guys down, but sometimes you guys are outsized.
Yeah, I feel like Winter's
Mill.
Yeah, it's always.
I guess the only game I ever played where I've been bigger than the line.
Okay, okay.
And, so we go down there, and our D-line was me, Hunter, Mored, and then Candy McPossey off the edge.
Mm-hmm.
Phenomenal. It was probably the best D-line I think we've had in years.
Athletic.
Yeah, very athletic.
Yeah.
And then our backers were Restivo, Baez, and Litz. And we're going to play in and tackle for loss. They go again. It's another tackle for loss.
So doing well, yeah.
And then it's a sweep, and they take it 65 yards.
Mm.
It gets hawked down at like the 13-yard line, and then they run a little goal line power and score on that. And
we're down
against a team that we thought we were definitely superior to.
And you're down 6-0 or whatever.
Yeah,
they make they missed the extra point. Okay.
And we get the ball back again, and another drive just didn't do anything.
Mm.
I thought I was playing pretty well. Like I didn't understand it.
yeah.
And then after that drive, this is about midway through the first quarter.
Okay.
We go back on defense.
So now you're back on defense, okay.
We're back down 6-0 still.
Mm-hmm.
And they ran the ball first play. They got like 3 yards, and then they started passing the ball. And then me and Candy got like a sack together.
Okay.
Third and very long, and then me, Candy, and Will all got a sack together.
Oh, wow.
The next play, it was fourth and third.
Forever, yeah.
Okay.
We punted that ball away back to us, and we start driving down the field. I mean, Winter's Mill, I don't know. We don't ever throw the ball. So
it's
run after run after run. And
so you're playing both ways.
Yep.
Okay.
I'm still absolutely exhausted.
And those runs get tiring.
And you're there, too.
Yeah, so I'm there. Unfortunately, I was on the sidelines
for
that game.
There. Okay.
I'm watching, and I specifically remember watching Grayson and maybe making a comment like, you were definitely doing great during that game.
That was one of my best
games. And you can feel that, right? You guys know this. You can know the feeling of like, I'm dominating this guy in front of me or next to me. We're doing this together. We are imposing our will on these guys.
Yeah,
and errors happen, you know. And that,
that's
of course, that's
the frustrating part. But you're like, you can feel it physically when you're when that's happening.
Yeah.
Like you know, right there, I'm playing the best game I've played ever. And it's only the first quarter.
No doubt in my mind, even though we're down, we had no chance of losing.
Right.
We
you just got to fix to get things fixed.
Yep.
Yeah.
We march down the field, and then we're at the goal line, and I completely whiff a block. Completely whiff a block. Third and goal. It was had the touchdown right there. I missed the block.
Yeah.
We ended up kicking the extra, or the field goal. Completely missing it.
Yeah. So missed the field goal, too.
Yeah, now we're back down at 6-0.
Yeah, that happens. Yeah.
And then they, I think we get a stop on their next drive.
Mm-hmm.
And then we march down, and we run Steelers, of course.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good 20-yard touchdown. We're up 7-6.
Right.
We go on the next drive, and they're actually marching pretty well against us. And then they throw, like, this deep pass and gets caught on Camden. And he takes for a touchdown.
That's rare, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And now we're down 12-7 again.
12-7, yeah.
And that was the beginning of the second quarter right then. And we were down 12-7 at the beginning of the second quarter.
Okay.
And then
to this point, sorry, do you feel any different than you normally have felt in the football game? Other than being tired, it's the first week.
Yeah, normal.
Okay.
The first quarter, I was fine.
Yeah.
I was perfectly fine. The second quarter, things got really, really, like, weird.
Okay.
That's how I would put it.
Okay.
We ended up. In the second quarter after they scored, we get the ball, and we have a weird kick return. Like, we muff it, and then it gets, like, it looks like we're going to be tackled, and then it takes for another 20 yards. And we're, like.
Is that Aaron?
Yeah. No, that time it was Will Snyder.
Oh.
Will Snyder. Okay. Yeah.
And
so just a crazy play, but you do get positive yards out of it.
Yeah, yeah. It was cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going, and, you know, just like normal, we're marching ball down the field like we usually do around the ball. But then, like, I start to feel, like, super weird in my whole body. Like I feel like I'm just getting really sluggish. Like,
okay,
just,
so it's early in the second quarter.
Yeah, I mean,
okay.
I'm still playing well.
Uh-huh, yep.
Like, the D lineman across from me was probably 120 pounds. And,
okay.
Like, that's
– yeah.
If you lose that matchup,
yeah.
I mean, that's
– yeah.
That's, I was doing fine, I think.
Right, right.
And then as I, like, progressed with going, like, he started beating me off the ball almost, like, on a regular basis.
So you noticed something changing a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and I could feel, like – in my body, like the kept getting faster and faster. My heart,
your heartbeat was rate. You're starting to get high.
Yeah,
okay.
I haven't been off the field yet. I've played the whole game, and then we ended up punting the ball away to them. And so they're down 12-7. They get the ball. This is my next defensive possession, and then that possession, I don't remember anything.
So during that break between when you got off the field on offense and you punted the ball away, and you went on the, were you on the punt?
No, I was off.
So when you were off, did you feel anything like of any kind of urgency?
I don't really remember. All I remember is that Coach Hoppy was yelling at me for missing my block.
Mm-hmm.
So,
oh, yeah.
But
I've heard that one.
You knew coming off the field though, like, man, my heart's really kind of racing a little faster than it normally does.
Felt strange.
Okay, so
I hadn't had anything like it before.
Did you say anything to anybody?
No, I didn't.
Yeah.
I just sat on the bench by myself.
Yeah,
I was like, oh, it's fine.
Eventually, maybe it was anxiety or frustration because you missed the block and you're getting an earful from Coach Hoppy. Things that happen during a football game, right?
Exactly. That's exactly what I was thinking.
So then, like you said, things get a little fuzzy.
Yeah,
at that point, you don't remember.
Drive, so, like, now looking back on it, like, I know because I've watched the film and stuff. I know it happened during that drive. And I did fine. Like, I did my job and stuff. But I was lined up wrong half the time. It's like I was unconscious the whole time is what they're saying.
Okay.
Like, I was lined up wrong. I had Nico slapping me from behind to move me to my right alignment.
And you don't remember that?
Don't remember any of it.
Yeah.
I made a tackle. I didn't even
know
it.
Okay.
And then third play of that drive. It's third and long.
Mm-hmm.
They run a sweep, I believe, and I go to make the play, and I tackle Tommy, our teammate.
Your teammate.
Yeah.
As at the time, he played outside linebacker. And
you wrapped him up on the in the film? Wow.
Wrapped him up.
Good tackle.
Good tackle.
Too bad it was your own guy. Now, you watching this on the sideline?
Yeah.
You remember this?
That was a sweep to the left, correct?
Exactly.
I remember, was this when you collapsed?
This is the third play of the drive. Right after that, I stand up. I mean, I don't
Yeah,
know
yeah,
don't
of course. Yeah, you've seen the film.
I stand up and I start running back to the field line. In my mind, like at the time, I did remember this. I felt like I was running forever and ever and ever, but I ended up not in the film. You just see me fall.
Okay.
Yeah, I remember watching that because I didn't even, from me remembering it, I don't remember him like running.
Mm-hmm.
I just saw him standing there, and all of a sudden it was down.
He was on the ground.
He was on the ground, and then it was like, whoa.
Face first.
Because you think, oh, either a concussion, injury.
Yeah.
I thought he was like, oh, maybe his ankle's messed up.
Right.
Maybe something in his knee.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that's that's not good.
Right.
But you obviously don't jump to conclusion of what actually happened.
Right.
Right.
Oh, yeah, no, it seemed defined. Like
yeah. We've seen people fall down before after an injury, and you'd lay there for a minute, and then you get helped off the field.
Yeah, and then Coach Miller comes over, and he starts trying to talk to me. I assume that there was no response from me.
Right.
And so he calls the trainer over. A trainer comes.
There was just one after another. Because you see a coach come over, and it's like, oh, ankle injury. Mm-hmm. Let me just walk over.
Yeah,
okay. Maybe get another trainer.
Even worst
over.
Case, it's a knee. Okay,
right.
Let's get a cart.
And then all of a sudden, we notice, here comes another person.
Yeah.
Here comes another person.
That
here
trainer,
comes another one.
And then there's another trainer. And then eventually, like, they say that I don't have a heartbeat. They mm-hmm. check my heartbeat. They say, you don't have a heartbeat. Is there anybody who can help? Because I believe that trainer was not CPR certified.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when Jim Roop and Jody Roop. Jim Roop is one of the top neurosurgeons. He's a nurse anesthetist, one of the top anesthetists at Shock Trauma.
Yep.
They
were at the game.
Yep, they're at the game because their son plays on the other team. They're tight end there.
That's
awesome.
And it's something, man.
Yeah.
And then
gives
Jim,
you like a little
right.
goosebumps. Go ahead.
And then Jim Roop, Jody Roop, she's one of the top nurse practitioners. It's just so ironic that that would be at that time the most certified people you could ever have.
Right.
I mean,
in attendance.
Yeah.
And the urgency, like it just got it's
Where, was it
instantly.
Instant.
They were on the field.
Yeah,
I was watching them come on, and then I saw Coach Miller's face, and it was instant,
something's wrong though.
Because you can see him turn over to our sideline and start waving.
Okay.
You can see the panic.
Yeah.
And the panic.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then he starts ripping Grayson's gear off.
Right.
Like, and it's like, oh my God.
Yeah, like
this
you guys
is
don't know
happening.
What's happening though on the sideline. You still don't know, you don't necessarily
right.
actually know what's going on.
Well, when he was ripping his stuff off, I'm watching Grayson. And unfortunately he was kind of spazzing
okay.
out a little
yeah,
bit.
Convulsing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was just
That's
it just
scary.
Got scary
That's
real
scary.
Quick, you
yeah.
know. And so coming back to the St. John's like field,
mm-hmm.
they since they only have student section on the one side
mm-hmm.
and on the other side it's pretty much just a wall.
Yeah,
you call
it's like a divider.
Screen or something.
Yeah,
sort.
Yeah, like a divider, and then there's like their bleachers where the parents are, it's like a 7-foot drop off
oh,
from the ground.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
This man Jim Roop jumped that 7-foot drop off, jumped it, landed over it, hopped the fence, and was over there in about 30 seconds.
It was awesome. But since they were
sprinting like a 40-yard dash.
Yeah.
They put our team closer to the student section and they were chirping all game.
Oh, okay.
Like not up to that.
Yeah, of course.
Like you know, student section,
uh-huh,
right?
Yep, yep.
All the way up. But like when the incident was happening, mm-hmm. and then after the incident, it was just
quiet.
It wasn't quiet. They started since they're a Catholic school. It was a lot of prayers.
Wow.
And it was very like
wow.
It was
I didn't
it was
know
awesome.
That.
So
That's
you could,
interesting.
It was echoing through the hills. It was.
That is wild, man. I didn't know
amazing.
That. I thought you were going to say they were just got quiet and they were like concerned, of course.
No, they were saying prayers
were
and
it
was amazing.
Wow.
Yeah,
amazing.
I don't remember.
Yeah, obviously you don't this at this stage you're not going to
yeah.
be able to help
yeah.
us with this conversation.
Yep.
And we're certainly glad you're sitting here right now being able to talk to us about it, but so they must have felt like forever, but it must have only
yeah.
been about 5 or 6 minutes of attention
yeah,
until
me,
they got you out of there.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
so for me, I was pronounced dead for 3 minutes and 13 seconds. They had to get that's how long it took the AED to come out, and the first shock didn't resurrect me. It took, I think it was 4 shocks with the AED to bring me back to life.
Mm.
And at that time, they brought me back to life. And what was crazy, though, is before that year, they made a rule that at all of the football games, there has to be an ambulance present.
Mm-hmm.
So that ambulance was just right there ready to carry me.
Yep.
And as they're doing that, they call in the medevac.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in the ambulance. Yeah, I don't really remember
sure,
too
sure.
much,
right.
but I remember my parents were telling me that you're only allowed one guardian on the medevac, and so they land the medevac on the football field.
Mm-hmm.
Bags go everywhere. All people
yeah.
are out
yeah,
of the stadium.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Stuff flies all around because
yeah.
the propellers.
Yeah, exactly.
So one of your mom or your dad went with you?
My dad went with me.
Okay.
And they... I was not in stable condition,
mm-hmm.
despite being resurrected, which is not a normal thing.
Right. You had a pulse, but it was still serious. It was still obviously really serious.
Yeah, it was very faint.
Yeah, yeah.
And I couldn't breathe on my own, so
yes.
I was intubated
in the
medevac.
Jeez.
They flew us to Shock Trauma.
Mm-hmm.
Coach Miller and my mom, they went separate, but they both came. They're the next 2 people to come.
Mm-hmm.
While I'm in Shock Trauma, my heart rate's starting to get stable again.
Okay.
And like it seems like everything's going to be fine. And then about 6 minutes later, I go into cardiac arrest again in the same night. And this time, the AED won't work. It was time, shock,
nothing.
Nothing. no heartbeat. I was pronounced fully dead until they tried one last time. This was 52 seconds. I was pronounced fully dead. They tried one last time, and it shocked my heart back to life.
Mm, that's crazy.
Do you know that story, that part of it?
I know. I don't know that part of it, but I know of him telling me that he was pronounced dead twice.
What, you know? What's that like when you hear that from, I mean, it's not something that you never I ever thought about when I was your guys' age. I can't imagine hearing that from a good friend of mine and a teammate of mine.
Right.
When he says that, I mean, what does that make you feel?
It's just the fact that, you know, that I had known somebody, not even like him being a friend, or it could be anybody. The fact that I know somebody that has been pronounced dead twice and that has this happen to him, it's just a crazy experience.
You're usually not pronounced dead, and then you're able to tell that to somebody.
Right.
And then let alone twice.
Right. You don't get to tell that story ever.
We would tell the story, sadly. So unfortunately they didn't make it. Oh, you know, something like that.
Right. The fact that he's here telling the story is just a miracle.
It's very crazy to me. So obviously you don't have memories of much of this.
No.
What's the first thing you remember coming back from these two?
Interesting.
So amazing incidents.
That's funny. So the first thing I remember after these two amazing, I was intubated and completely put asleep for about 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
And I started to regain a little bit of consciousness after the third day. And that was when Coach Miller came finally. That was my first memory to see Coach Miller there.
So the first thing you remember is Coach sitting there.
Yeah, okay. Exactly.
I just saw you at the Friday night game.
Yeah, that's what it felt like. It felt like it was just an hour apart. Like I just saw him again. And I felt, as soon as I regained consciousness, I felt fine.
Mm-hmm.
And then... Well, when you die, you have a lot of painkillers in you.
Okay. I'll take your word for it.
When the painkillers were no longer in me because I'm not intubated anymore.
Sure.
Oh, it was so painful because I haven't moved in 3 days. And
yeah. And your body's gone through some stuff.
Yeah, all the blood flow to my body hasn't been going anywhere.
Yeah. Now, you had all feelings in your extremities?
I did.
That wasn't an issue.
Never, no.
What was the, if I'll call it a diagnosis, I mean, at the end of the day, what happened to you?
So I have a genetic condition called long QT syndrome. It is your heart has what's called a QT waves. So normal people, it's like bump, 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 bump. Mm-hmm. For mine, it's like bump, bump, bump. There's a big interval in between those.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So that big interval creates false beats sometimes. And those false beats cause sudden cardiac arrest at any time. And so, like... It could be at any time in your life you could just get sudden cardiac arrest and die.
Yeah.
The reason it's a very rare condition because people who've had it usually die from it. They usually die at a pretty young age without it having ever been treated.
Right.
So that was the diagnosis.
It's still wild. It's wild to think about this. I'm going to ask Cooper real quick because Grayson's been talking a good bit, which is great.
Yeah, it's great. Absolutely.
So that happens. He leaves.
Yeah.
What's going on the sidelines?
So
he's not there, obviously, right at this point. So
at the moment, like, I mean, we're watching everything. It's like watching it. We all, after we realized the urgency when he starts mm-hmm. Come back to ripping off mm-hmm. the equipment.
And he goes, and no one's really telling you guys anything at that point. I mean, people, you're watching, but
before he left, it was just all sad.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
did you crowd around the, were you able to get close to Grayson?
We were not too close, but we all had to get on our knee and stuff
that. Like you always would do at a game.
Right. But eventually, I think this was before the helicopter got there, we went out into where the student section was. Mm-hmm. We walked down this path, and then we had to go up to another path, up to a church,
mm-hmm.
where it might have, I don't know if it was a church, but there was a gym in there.
Okay, yeah.
So walking up this path, there was students and teachers and all these different people. They were aligned on the path, and they were just, you know, keep your head up, and it was just so
the
sad.
St. John people.
Yes.
Yeah.
These people that were so ruthless and so...
A lot of trash talk.
And it's just, it was so sad. And they're giving us all this. And then we're walking up to a church and then we're going in there and we have to sit in this weight room.
Mm-hmm.
And we're waiting in the weight room and all the coaches come in. And I don't remember if Coach Miller came into the weight room or not,
mm-hmm.
or if he just drove to the hospital.
Right.
But and we just waited in there.
Yeah, I think there was a time, I wasn't there, but I've talked to Coach Miller and others that were there. There was a moment where they thought about continuing the game. I mean, they talked about it. I think they quickly realized that, like, hey, we're not ready to do this. And so, obviously, the game, before you started, the game was basically, like, it never happened. Mm-hmm. It was wiped off the calendar, yep. or the schedule. Right. I know they were winning the game at the time. I know you said you were going to win the game. I'm sure you guys were going to win the game.
Yeah.
But so, that was it. So, then 2022, you guys only had 8 games in the regular season instead of 9. So, that game got wiped out. Just couldn't get rescheduled, basically, was really what happened. But, obviously, at that moment, football is way
it
out
was
of
it. So, we got there, and it was, like, obviously, we have to have the conversation with the kids about, do we continue this game? And at first, it was like, okay, it's a possibility.
Mm-hmm.
You know, honestly, take your time now because this
we're
is beyond
back up and
this is beyond football.
Oh, yeah, of course.
But there is still a possibility. And then after a while, I was like, oh, maybe not.
Yeah.
Maybe so, maybe not.
Yeah,
and then
of
it
course.
Was like, look, we're not doing
this. I think both coaches came
yeah.
to – I think Matt told me that they kind of both got together and said it's not in the best interest of everybody involved. Yeah. Did you want it – what did you think was going to happen, Cooper?
I knew – like, not that I knew, but I just – there was no way I could see us finishing that game.
Yeah, yeah.
After something like that, you know.
Right.
It's – at that point, like, it's beyond football, and you just step away from the game
for I think
a week,
so. I mean, if Grayson had torn up his knee – that would have been terrible.
Right.
The game would have resumed.
The game, absolutely.
And it would have been sad that you lost your teammate, but he'd be back like a Caleb Crouch this
exactly.
year, right? He's on the sideline. He'd be on the sideline.
Right.
Crutches.
They're not shutting down the Mount Valley game.
No, I don't
think
so. I don't think so. You know, that's not the way it works. But when you see things like that, to me, that football goes out the window.
Right.
It's not about football. And it got validated by the St. John's, you know, students and football fans who they couldn't have cared less at that moment. They wanted to make sure that Grayson was
okay.
It was
all about – it wasn't about the game anymore.
And you had two right, and you had two people from the St. John's community not hesitating to help.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing.
Do you still keep in touch with the Roops? I figured that was the answer.
Pretty big family friends
right now. I bet.
I was going to ask that,
yeah.
So you're still contacting them, you're still – that's amazing.
I mean, they did their part in saving his life, saving Grayson's life.
Big,
so they,
yeah.
I don't think Grayson's sitting here right now without their help.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
There
Shout out to them.
Too. Yeah, no
yeah.
doubt, no doubt. But that's cool that you guys stay in touch. Mm-hmm. So that was last year, and I guess you know football goes away for you, but it doesn't fully go away. Did you have? Well, you tell me. I mean, what was the next? I mean, obviously, once you kind of regained your strength, what was that process like? How long did that take?
Oh yeah, so after I was intubated, about 2 days later, I was in the hospital for 7 days total.
Uh-huh.
So the fifth day I was in the hospital, they said that I would have to have heart surgery in order to, like, cure my disease, I guess
mm-hmm,
you'd say.
Mm-hmm.
So they said that if I take the heart surgery, then I'll never be able to play football again.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it wasn't a choice I could make. It was entirely up to
them. They were just telling you.
Yeah.
This is what we're doing, and you're not going to play football anymore.
Yeah, pretty much. So that was...
That must have been tough to hear.
Yeah, it was tough. That was about my whole dream. There's nothing I could do about it.
Right.
I had heart surgery on the sixth day. They implanted a defibrillator
mm-hmm.
in my heart,
mm-hmm.
which
maintains the beats.
Well, that's a pacemaker. So
You're right. Sorry.
Mine just, if I have a false, say I go into cardiac arrest, it automatically shocks me back to life.
Okay, you're right. Defibrillator, right.
Very handy.
Yeah, that is handy, I guess. Now you can't feel it or anything. It's normal. You don't feel
I
mean, any.
At the time, like when I first got it, it felt weird.
Well, of course, They kind of crack your chest open and put something in your heart, so.
It's big too. It's like almost half the size of my chest.
Can you
feel
it like on the outside?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. So you know it's there.
Yeah, right. It's there.
We'll talk about it more too. But has since then have you felt it in action or at all or?
I don't think so.
Like, yeah, I guess you can't.
Shocked yet?
Okay.
I haven't had any problems either.
Okay.
So, I mean that's good news.
So since then you've had no real like major episodes or anything like that.
Nothing.
Wow. Okay.
That's
great.
Yeah.
So anyway, football goes away, but it obviously. Which is tough to deal with, but it doesn't fully go away because you're still part of the team.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So what's crazy that is the heart surgery, they say you have you're supposed to wait at least 4 days before you go home.
Mm-hmm, sure.
And then you're not even supposed to walk or supposed to stay in bed.
No,
for
you get, yes,
at least
absolutely.
A few weeks.
Yeah, of course. You regain your strength.
Instead, what I did is after,
instead.
after the 24 hours where I could legally, medically leave, I requested to medically leave and I came to our Chesapeake game. Then following Friday.
I remember that. Yeah.
I could barely walk. I had my arm was in a sling for my heart surgery.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I could barely even stand. And I walked down the stairs and I remember the whole team came.
Yeah.
It was pretty good. And I think that was the best game Winners Mill has probably ever played.
Chesapeake game.
What was that like seeing him there?
It was so you weren't supposed to even be there.
Yeah. These are the Grayson rules. These aren't the doctor's rules.
Yeah, these aren't the doctor's rules.
Don't do that at home.
This is how
everybody.
We do it at Lions. Yeah. We were this was pregame, we're warming up. I didn't know
he was coming.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
I think I'm helping Camden like with his punts or something because I'm still ineligible. And then I look to my right, and I'm like, oh my God, that's Grayson.
Yeah.
And he's hobbling over. I'm like, that's Grayson. Yeah. I'm like, wow.
Is that the first time you'd seen him since he was lifted out of the stadium?
Wow. It was just amazing. I was like, he's walking.
I could have I'd be speechless.
Yeah. I was like. And then the whole team runs over. It was just amazing.
Hopefully they didn't beat you up too much. Don't touch him too hard.
That was.
You want to give him a big hug and you can't squeeze him too hard.
Yeah.
He's
right. I was like,
don't he's too fragile, right? He's fragile.
Yeah.
Huge lift though, right? Had to be a huge lift. Of
that Chesapeake, definitely got us. Ready. I think that Winners Mill played really good that game. Yeah.
Pretty much like. That was like David and Goliath. They were huge. Great. They had many D1 players. That was probably the best team that
we could go into St. John's.
The college?
Yeah.
No, the other high school that plays with McDonough and.
I gotcha. The St. John's in D.C.
They had a kid transfer. Like he. Big,
so they had some big
boys,
and some good kids,
and you guys
won.
No, we lost.
We lost.
But I think the game was tied all the way until the third quarter.
I see.
And
got
we were
it.
Up 7-0.
To win in our book.
Oh yeah. Whatever you do that day is good because he's there to lift your guys' spirits. I was thinking of a different team. You're right. I was thinking of Springbrook.
Oh yeah.
Way different team. Springbrook and Chesapeake.
I think we were 55-point underdogs going into Chesapeake.
Yeah, and you only lost by you were tied going into the third quarter.
By what, one or two scores?
Yeah, it was 14-7. We lost.
Yeah.
14-7. Wow.
And we had a goal line. I left after the third quarter. I was not feeling.
I don't think you were 100% to stay there for the whole time.
But from what Nico told me is that it was 14-7. They had the ball at the 3-yard line and they fumbled it. Mm-hmm. They tied it and sent it to overtime. They fumbled it.
Yeah.
And that was the game.
Yeah. But those are those games, right? That's the saying to start this. I mean, there were moments in the season where, you lost the game, but it was a different Winners Mill team.
Yeah.
And whether that was Grayson lifting you guys up and also just the team was actually pretty good last year, too.
Yeah, very resilient team.
Yeah.
For the size that team had, they were just very resilient.
So Grayson stays with the team as much as he can.
Right.
And then this year comes along, and you guys think you're going to do pretty well. And we've talked about this through the year, obviously, with Coach Miller and other Falcons. And I've talked with Cooper about it, too. And it was awesome. You know, nine wins.
Awesome.
Historic year for Winners Mill, the best season they've ever had. Right there with Forest Park into the last seconds of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And the cool thing was, I just want to put a bow on what we're talking about here, is that, you know, you had your senior night. Ceremony. I shouldn't say that. It was senior night at Westminster. You guys played Westminster in week 9, the city rivalry game. But the coaches and teams agreed to do something kind of special, and Grayson was able to come out for actually one play, the first play of the game.
That was amazing. Yeah.
When I played my junior year, I was D lineman and O lineman. I took up number 52, but I decided that I shouldn't be keeping that same number if I'm not going to play my senior year, so I took up number 0. Because Coach Miller wasn't going to give it to anybody anyway. So.
Coach number 0.
Remember him asking for that.
Yeah.
He was like,
I'll get 0.
Zero's good. Fresh start.
Exactly.
Clean slate.
This was the first year where you could wear 0.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah,
I think so.
So with that, Coach Bass and Coach Miller decided that it would be all right to let me get on the play.
Yeah.
You know, Coach Miller was pretty specific about I'm not allowed to do this.
Yeah.
So
he's been saying that since week 1.
I mean,
first, he was like, can I just come on for a kickoff?
Oh, you mean that you were asking?
Can I sneak on or a kick return?
I even talked to my electrophysiologist to see if I could get cleared, at least for a game.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't in the cards.
Wasn't in the cards, but one play was okay, and you actually were on the field. Lined up as wide receiver, if memory serves.
Did he let you do that?
Yeah, I was lined up at receiver.
Yeah. I wanted you to catch the pass.
I was really hoping.
At least have throw your way. I think did they run the ball?
Yeah, they ran the opposite way.
That's what I thought. Yeah. Okay. So it was like
good
one
fake
of those
screen though, right?
It could have been a bubble screen. Yeah. I would have turned and flashed to the quarterback at least.
Yeah,
but
you would have got John Manley on his toes.
And you were on the far side. You were on the Winners Mill side?
Yeah,
I remember you lined up on the far side. We were there. there for the as like game of the week. So cool moment. I mean, definitely fun. Definitely. Cool that both teams kind of did that. I know it's on the field. You guys want to beat each other's brains out, but for the most part, you guys all are good friends on and off the field. There's friends and there's friends and not friends. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, right.
And those games have been competitive these last couple years, even though you've lost them. I mean, the one I could think of, the COVID year, with where when Eric Schrenko was still at Westminster, you guys had Winters Mill had them on the ropes in the fourth quarter. Preparing for that game this year, I know they pulled away in the second half, but you know, a county championship atmosphere. I mean, what was it? I know you were on the sideline for it. What was it like playing in that game with where
it was
everything was on the line in week nine for you guys?
Yeah, the whole season was just amazing. When you look, because the way I think about it, I look back all the way pretty much because Winters Mill, they I think football started, what, 2003?
It's been a while, yeah.
Yeah, we haven't really had a historic, not like a historically good season.
No, you're right.
Like a season where it's like, wow, Winters Mill, they did really good this
year. 6-4 was their best record before this year.
Right, like, oh, like next season, we got to look out for Winters Mill because they might be some dogs. To me, like, because my brother graduated from Winters Mill in 2011, played all 4 years. I always looked up to that, and I always try to, because I think Winters Mill gets a lot of stigmatism towards them, or a lot of shade towards them, because of certain things.
Right.
And to me, I've always wanted to improve that, and that season just it did it for me. I mean, it was needed.
Yeah, even though it ended with a loss in the state, state quarterfinals.
Just an amazing season.
I mean, you can't ask for a better season.
I absolutely agree. And it's hard to say like, oh, it's because our leader got injured.
Right.
But honestly, that has such a big part into it because he wasn't just our quarterback and just our outside
Caleb.
Linebacker.
No, I agree.
Caleb was a great leader.
He was our leader. He was our vocal leader. He was pretty much the most important part to that team, I would say.
Yeah.
I think our offense valued like a lot of his value in terms of decision-making and
making
reads as a
quarterback. Right. It takes a huge wind out of your sails, and it changes a lot of how you do it.
Absolutely.
But that speaks to how good you guys were this year when you could you beat Man Valley and you gutted out that win against Man Valley, then you lost to Westminster. Then you had the bye in the first round of the playoffs. Then you turn around and pretty much dominate a pretty good Williamsport team, which caused problems for people.
I think that
was the capstone of the whole year.
Yeah,
at home, dominating them. You never threw a pass.
Right.
You ran for 300-some yards, ran it right down their throat, and they couldn't stop
three plays. It was Patriots, Dallas.
Over and over and over again.
Halfback dive. We ran it 37 times for 264 yards.
I love that play.
I would too if you did remember 264 yards.
Yeah, I mean, you're not going to lose rushing that many yards a game.
You're watching. You're on the field. I mean, and again, it was a little bit, maybe a slow start, and then you guys got it going. As the time is ticking off in that fourth quarter, and you know you're going to win the game, and you know, okay, whatever happens next week is kind of gravy. There's no better feeling, right?
No, because I wrote a blog about this, Williamsport. So we lost to Williamsport was always a team that we were scheduled to scrimmage. It was kind of a good, what would Coach Miller say?
It was a good gauge.
They're
usually pretty equal to us.
They're a good team. They're a good program.
And we lose them in the playoffs last, not this fall, but last fall.
And you beat them to start the season this year, 2023.
We play them week one, and it was just a great feeling to finally get that revenge off of beating us in the playoffs.
Absolutely dominated defensively.
That's a great game. And that's a game you win, and you think, okay, we know we could see them again in the playoffs because we've been seeing the last couple of years. So let's use this. But that's a lot. That's 10, 12, 11 weeks later.
Yeah, that's something.
They got better after that.
Yeah,
not that you guys didn't, but
that's something I was thinking about. I don't think any of the other players were thinking about that, but because you don't as a player, you don't want to think about the long term.
Of course,
but I'm not playing, so I was thinking about all of it. I was thinking about who our state.
Could be. You're starting to match up the brackets and see who can play.
He was making whole brackets. During class, he was looking at everything. It was like
the
community media center
here.
Over here right next to me.
Hey, you have to have a team statistician guy who can do that for you. That's what Grayson
was
doing. Otherwise, he was getting ready for that play against Westminster to draw up that play.
We were making fun of him. Grayson, where are you getting all this information?
Don't make fun of him, man. He gets the info, man.
I know. It was great.
He's giving you the scouting reports on Williamsport. But no, that was, to me, if there's a – there was a lot of awesome moments during the season for Winters Mill football. That was the one, that sort of put a cap on the whole thing. And again, they're a good program.
Right.
They win games more than they lose games. They gave Liberty a scare. They beat them last year in the playoffs. They were a good team last year.
They were.
And they graduated a couple guys, but they still, they beat South Carroll in the first round of the playoffs this year and looked really good. I thought, okay, Winters Mill, I think Winters Mill will win, but I think Williamsport's better than they were in week one. You guys.
Yeah.
After the first 10 minutes, you guys just took off.
Run, run, run.
Williamsport has two extremely talented players.
Yes.
Probably, I mean, Siakam,
number nine, number 14.
Yes.
Number 14. Yep. Those two are probably the most athletic people we've seen in all of football. But
and that includes Forest Park because they had some athletes too.
Yeah. Forest Park has some great athletes.
But
though. Yeah,
they did.
I don't think anybody really compared to number 14 and number nine because they they've been starting since I played.
They I know those guys and they're not even from around here. I know who they are.
Yeah,
so
they,
yeah.
They were good and we played them. Week one, they could not stop our run. So it was
You knew
we were a heavy run team. You can't stop a run team that only runs. That's like you're letting their bread and butter beat you. That's,
right.
And they did add somebody on the couple kids on the defensive line
since that when
the,
when the
playoffs
game.
And they got bigger.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa. For a second, you're like, whoa.
Uh-huh,
and then after,
what are we getting into here?
Me, Jacob, the center, and the rest of our like grooving.
Yeah.
Just once you start getting
it's
in the
good
groove,
feeling, right?
It's a great feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, from what I could tell, like their defense was pretty straightforward. They just rushed gaps. So it gave – all you needed was a crease. With our running backs, all you needed was a crease. With Nico, Harris, and Malachi, since they can keep getting fresh, they're going to have fresh legs, and they can just keep on hitting them.
Yeah.
The rat backer.
Big. They're big. Yeah, they didn't have a rat – 2 years ago, that rat backer they had, amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Best defensive players.
Yeah.
This year
they got a new one. He must have been a junior, right?
Yeah, he was a – when we played in week one, their rat backer was – he was, I guess he was like a junior or something. He was not very good.
Okay.
And so the time we played him in the playoffs, they had like a JV kid playing rat.
Who was better?
Way better.
Yeah.
He still wasn't like a problem.
It wasn't
that kid 2 years ago, though. Like
no,
he was enemy number one.
He was a stud.
He was their fullback, too. And he was, or and their H-back, I guess you'd say.
He was a stud.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he had probably 40 tackles in one game against
the, well, the whole idea, the whole idea of the rat backer is just
literally
find ball.
Yeah. Well, it's hard. Yeah, as I was gonna say, if he comes that through that gap, it's hard to block him.
Mm-hmm.
But point is, you guys got two wins against them this year, and it was a great season. The season comes to an end. You guys obviously reminisce, but for Grayson, you know, football on the field is over.
Yep.
But football's not over for you. What have you been doing since the football season ended?
Yeah, so ever since football season ended, I started like trying to better myself in terms of coaching. And for my what I'm doing now is I'm working at McDaniel High School as an intern there.
McDaniel College.
Yep, McDaniel College.
Yep.
Working with the coaching staff there.
Okay, yeah, new coach Skylar Fultz took over this
about
a few weeks ago as the head coach.
Yep.
Former player.
McDaniel alum.
Yep. So, do you want? Do you see yourself? Is this the avenue you want to take if you can in terms
of
football?
Yeah,
okay.
I definitely want to be a coach. I don't know what steps I should take as of right now. But
sure.
I definitely want to be as coaching as soon as possible.
Yeah. And physically, how have you been? How have you felt since the incident?
I've felt fine. I'm probably as healthy as I've ever been.
Yeah.
It's just to me, it's just like another thing that happened.
Okay.
It's not even that.
It took away your football dreams in a sense, but it also maybe opened up a path for other avenues in the sport to take.
Absolutely. I mean, you can sit back and be upset about the things that happened to you, or you can take some action in your life and accountability and you know, find a new path for yourself.
Before Cooper wraps it up, just I thought of this just now as we were talking. When the DeMar Hamlin thing happened, what were your thoughts as you watched that? I don't know if you were watching it or not.
Yeah,
I wasn't, but I obviously saw, I've seen it.
I watched it live. Yeah, it was. I mean, it was like it's like history repeating itself.
I was just gonna say, were you watching it like, holy crap, that to me, basically.
Yeah, pretty much, because mine happened about 4 or 5 months before that.
Yeah.
And yeah, I watched that happen. It was pretty. It was like, you know, it was like really like. Shocking,
sure,
because like that's not something you see at that big of a stage.
You just don't
it doesn't
that.
Feel real,
it doesn't feel real, correct?
Because
yeah.
the fact that that happens, you rarely ever see that.
Yeah,
the fact
and
that it happens kind of in the same
right. It was literally
yeah.
made me think, oh, that's Grayson from Winners and Millers. It wasn't the exact same thing, but
yeah.
very similar, right?
Similar.
Yeah,
very similar.
So it was happening to you at the time, so you actually saw it happening on the field.
Oh, yeah.
You saw it. Did you watch? Were you watching the game that night too?
I'm pretty sure I was.
So that's
yeah.
twice that you've witnessed it, and
yeah.
once it was on the field. And now you watch.
You don't see that ever.
Yeah.
You know, and the fact that it happened pretty close to each other.
Did you think about Grayson when
absolutely.
That when it was going on?
Yeah,
yeah.
absolutely.
Yeah, I had about 100 texts.
I bet.
Like
yeah.
Sending me messages.
Yeah, yeah. And so obviously DeMar got to luckily for him got to get back on the field last
yep.
past season. So that was scary, and it doesn't feel real. It feels like a movie. It feels like you're watching. I think I was in here, maybe, or I don't know what I was doing, but I just remember like, oh, you've seen this thing, and they only showed it once or twice. They didn't show it
yeah.
again.
Mm-hmm.
They showed obviously. Well, you know what's happened. You got, you know, football players, heated rivals, crying, hugging each other, like the game. And
yeah.
that was another thing. They were gonna play at one point. They said, well, we're gonna resume the game. they didn't, and they probably shouldn't have. So, but yeah, so everyone knows that story of DeMar Hamlin, but you know, Carroll County sort of had its own
bigger than football,
Yeah, absolutely, and beyond football, like great, like you guys both said. Mm-hmm. Cooper, you got any last questions for Grayson before we wrap it up?
Oh, I think that was a great conversation, and I'm very glad you could come in here and talk about this. It's a great, great story.
Well, thank you for having me.
Yeah. Of course. I'm glad you're sitting here. to be honest with you,
too.
Podcast or not, man. I mean, the fact that you got through something like that and you learned from it, and you know, the people that were all involved—they're not in this room, of course—but we can't thank them enough. I mean, I come to work every day in this place, and there's an AED in the kitchen, and I don't think about it. You know, we get trained on it and things like that. We get trained for CPR, and that's a good thing to do. I advise everybody listening, if they when they listen, to certify yourself for CPR, because it's a life-saving thing that you hope you never have to use. But if you do have to use it, Grayson's living proof that it works. And so I go through the day here, and I don't even think about the AED, but if someone were ever to need it, I mean, the people in this building know how to use it, and they're at schools, and they're in school buses now, and I think every field has to have one nearby, and those are all things that you don't think about on the everyday. You know, I'll just get to the game and play, and I miss my spot or miss my tackle, or Coach Hoppy's going to yell. You know, just the football in you comes out until it doesn't.
Until it needs,
And then you've got the stories that you guys can both tell where, you know, an entire community who didn't even know you guys at all, and they want to beat you, and they want to talk, you know, talk football trash, and immediately they're that goes away, and they're praying for
nothing
you, and they're supporting
help.
You, and
absolutely,
you know, fans who happen to have tremendous medical backgrounds, you know, jump the fence and run onto the field to help someone they've never met before.
Yep.
It's something. It really is. And I'll say what Cooper said. I appreciate you coming in. You and I talked a little bit once at Winters Mill High School, and I wanted to keep in touch with you, so I'm glad you were able to come in and sit down with us. And good luck with you at McDaniel and everything going forward, man.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that.
Oh, no problem, man. And Cooper, of course, we'll hang out a little bit more here, too.
Just a little bit more.
We got winter sports wrapping up. We got spring sports coming up here. So
there you go,
appreciate
dude.
It, guys.
Get ready for that.
That's right. All right, guys. Take it easy.